To end my letter, I tell you, be strong in the Lord and in his great power. Wear the full armor of God. Wear God's armor so that you can fight against the devil's clever tricks. Our fight is not against people on earth. We are fighting against the rulers and authorities and the powers of this world's darkness. We are fighting against the spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly places. That is why you need to get God's full armor. Then on the day of evil, you will be able to stand strong. And when you have finished the whole fight, you will still be standing. So stand strong with the belt of truth tied around your waist, and on your chest, wear the protection of right living. On your feet, wear the good news of peace to help you stand strong. And also use the shield of faith with which you can stop all of the burning arrows that come from the evil one. Accept God's salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit. That sword is the teaching of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Pray with all kinds of prayers and ask for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready. Never give up. Always pray for all of God's people.
Today is the final part of our series on Ephesians. So we started off a few months ago now, I think it was, looking at the first two chapters of the letter, and we were thinking about what the letter told us about who God is and who we are in him as individuals. And then we've kind of moved on through the letter to look at our collective identity as the church, seeing how we are together and how we're gifted, we're beloved, we're a family, we're awoken, and we're united. I think that's what we've thought about. Matt's giving me a nod, I'm doing it okay. So this morning, we're going to be thinking about how the church is strong. And we've already had that reading about putting on the armor of God. And when I was reading those verses to get ready for today, it got me thinking about all the different situations when you might need special equipment to protect you. So, has Kev got my slides? I'm like Chris Whitty. There's no slides at all, but this is not a good start. That's okay. They're coming. They're really exciting, honestly. They're well worth this wait. Are you ready? Ooh, the next one. Next slide, please. Look at that. Ready? Next slide, please. No. Oh, I obviously don't have the authority of Chris Whitty. Ah, there we go. So it got me thinking about all the situations when you might need different special equipment to protect you. PPE, something that we've heard about a lot in the last 18 months. Not letters I'd ever heard of before all of this, I have to say. Something that we've been thinking about. So whether you're fighting a fire or caring for sick patients, working on a building site, or just going for a bike ride or a horse ride, you need some sort of protection. And that's what Paul is describing when he talks about the armor of God. It's like our PPE for daily life to kind of protect us spiritually. You wouldn't go onto a building site. You wouldn't be allowed on a building site without your hard hat and your shoes and stuff with the sealed deal boots that mean you don't drop heavy things on your feet. I think that's what they're for. They wouldn't let you on. So why would you go out into daily life without your spiritual kind of PPE? So to start us off, I thought we would get dressed up in our armour. And I'm going to ask Esther, Naomi and Elijah to come and help me because we have a bubble and they don't have to wear masks and I can breathe on them and they can breathe on me. It's all good. So, I get a clicker. Look at that. So we're going to get dressed up in the armour. So it's in here, guys. The first thing we're going to have, I think, is the belt of truth. So can you put the belt of truth on our soldier? Right. So when we're thinking about a belt, it's kind of the thing that keeps everything together and stops it falling down. If you've got a pair of trousers and you haven't got a belt, probably my trousers wouldn't fall down because it's COVID, you know. But, you know, some people's might. So it's the kind of idea of God's truth, all the true things he's said, all the true things he's done, all the truth about who he is, right in the middle of our PPE, holding it all together. Then we've got a breastplate of righteousness. Here we go. Here it is. Pop on the breastplate of righteousness. Can you put that on her? Right. So a breastplate is to protect all your vital organs, your heart, your lungs. And here we've got God's righteousness, his holiness and protection, and his perfection given to us through Jesus, protecting all our kind of spiritual vital organs. So there it is. You have to imagine it's kind of padded. Right. After that, we've got the shoes of the gospel of peace. Now, put one on them and I'll hold this one up. When I was reading about this, I discovered that Roman soldiers' shoes had spikes on the bottom. These ones are not very lethal, but they're as spiky as I could get. And the idea was that they did help you literally to stand firm. You kind of dug your feet into the ground with your spikes, and then you were there standing firm. So those bits when Paul's talking about standing strong and standing firm, that's what he's thinking about. The other thing about having spikes on your shoes is if you stamp on somebody, it really hurts them. So the idea was that the army could kind of march along, they could stamp on the enemy, and one soldier stamping on the enemy, and then the next soldier stamping on somebody, and then the next soldier stamping on them. Overall, collectively, you could do quite a bit of damage with your spiky shoes. And we're going to kind of think about that a bit more, this idea of kind of fighting collectively as we go on this morning. So those are our shoes of the gospel of peace. And right. Next, we've got our shield of faith. She might not manage to wear two. We'll see. So there is her shield of faith. Now, this shield's not very big. The Roman shield at the time that Paul was writing was as big as a door, and it would kind of cover your whole body. And when it kind of... when the Roman army marched together, they used it kind of defensively, but also to kind of push their opponents out of the way, a bit like a snowplow. They kind of gave them a shove with it as they went along. So that idea that your faith can kind of move things and is kind of offensive as well as defensive is what Paul is talking about. And Roman soldiers used to kind of join together and fight as a team. They were an army, they weren't individual soldiers. And so they would position their shields to kind of protect each other. I think I've got a picture of that. Ooh. I've got to use the next slide now. Where, what am I pointing at? Like, okay. I just pointed at Jan. I didn't know what I'm supposed to be pointing at. Okay, here we go. No, what am I pointing at? That. No, go on, Kevin, you do it. Next slide. No, not that one. There it is, look. So it's called a tortoise, I think. Can you see why? It's got that kind of shell, that kind of... they use them together to protect each other. So they all kind of huddled together. They used their shields. They were a team. And that was especially helpful to kind of protect you against arrows being launched from walls of cities that you were attacking. You'd be hard-pressed if you were in one of those little slits in a kind of castle. I don't know whether they had castles. I'm picturing castles in Wales. Obviously, that wasn't what they had in Roman times, but that's what I'm picturing, with those little slits in the windows that you fired your arrows out of. You'd be quite, have quite a hard job to hit when someone's all kind of covered up and plated like that. So after that, we've got the helmet of salvation. Here it is. There it is, the helmet of salvation. And this is really important because head injuries in battle were often the thing that killed you. They were kind of fatal. And this spiritual helmet protects our minds. It reminds us that we're saved, that there is nothing the enemy can do to change that. So when those doubts kind of come creeping in, that you're not good enough, that God loves someone else more than he loves you, that that thing that you do is the unforgivable sin, or whatever it is, the helmet of salvation is what protects you. And finally, we've got the sword of the Spirit. Be gentle with that, please. I've just given my child a weapon, and being as my children can turn things, oh, not weapons into weapons, this is not a good move. So, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And for Roman soldiers, their sword was an attacking and a defending weapon. And when it was sharp, it could pierce through almost anything. And God's word is powerful like that. That's what Paul's telling us. It can get right into the heart of things. Whatever situation you're in, God's word can get right in there and kind of attack on your behalf and defend you. So when you've got those doubts coming in, a bit like the helmet of salvation, it can kind of help you to stand firm. So there we've got it. All our spiritual PPE, our armor of God. Now, Naomi and Elijah, you can go and sit down. Esther, you're all ready. You're ready to go and fight, yeah? What I want you to do first is I want you to fight all these people. Now, Julia thought there were 47 people in this room, so there's 47 of them. Do you reckon you can do it? And then after that, I want you to go down to Morrison's and I want you to fight all the people you can find there, okay? And then when you fought them, I want you to go into town and I want you to fight everybody in town. How are you feeling about that, Esther?
No.
No. Why not? You've got the armor, you're all kitted out. Where are you going?
I don't want to do it alone.
You're scared. Okay, she's frightened of going alone. Okay, I've got a plan. I'm going to send Daddy with you and Andy and Sim, because he looks quite tall, and Naomi, because she's a bit fierce, and who else? Granddad and Steve Hudson and Steve Salter. And I'm going to let them help you fight the people in this room. Do you reckon you could do it then? You've got more chance now?
Yes.
Okay. What about if all the people in this room came with you to fight the people in Morrison's? Can we do it?
I think so.
Come on, guys, we can fight the people in Morrison's. What about if all the people in Morrison's came with us to fight the people in town?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're happier if you don't have to go on your own, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So what do you think then? You reckon if we did it together, you'd have more chance?
Yeah, I need an army. I can't do it by myself.
Okay, right. Brilliant. So thank you, Esther. You can go and sit down in your armour now. So... that's right. Esther's right. We need an army. And that's what I was really kind of wanting to underline this morning. We're thinking about the church in this series, all that we are together, rather than just us as individuals. We're not soldiers on our own. One soldier on their own is not going to get that far. Okay, yeah, David, he did it with Goliath and he had God on his side. And that's great. You can. But you're better when you're a team. Go that way. Right. Yeah. The sword as far away from them as possible. Good thinking. Right. So, yeah. God has given us the armour. He has equipped us, but he's put us together, like those Roman soldiers that we saw, so that we don't have to battle and struggle on our own. Whatever it is that you're struggling with in life, whatever battle you're facing, you're not meant to do it on your own. That isn't God's plan. And of course, we have got God on our side, but he's given us each other too. And sometimes we need each other to remind us of who God is, and that he's with us, and that he's faithful, and that he's powerful to help us to protect our minds with his salvation, or our hearts to trust in his faithfulness and his righteousness. And like those soldiers, like I say, that we saw with the shields, all protecting each other, or different soldiers marching repeatedly with their spiky shoes over the enemy one by one. Battles are won more easily with other people. And Paul encourages us to help us each other in this way in Romans. Next slide, please. And to support each other in our faith. He says, I want us to help each other with the faith that we have. Your faith will help me and my faith will help you. So that's literally those shields. My shield will protect you. Your shield will help protect me. And I was thinking back as I prepared for today to a time in my life when I really needed this kind of help and support, and this was really true for me. So about 11 years ago now, Julian and I were going through a really difficult situation, and it really did test and challenge my faith. And I found myself in a position where I knew in my head that God was still good and he loved me, but what I was going through made it really hard to actually feel like that was true, because we were battling with something that was rubbish and I really couldn't see God in it. And at the same time, we had some really good friends of ours who were also going through a really tough time, different situation, totally different things going on, but they were struggling too. And I found that whilst I didn't have the faith or the words or the strength, if I'm being honest, to bring my own situation to God, I did want to pray for them. And I really trusted that God could and would do something to change what was going on for them. And equally, our friends were struggling to see God in their situation, but they had faith for us and they were praying with us and for us regularly. And during this time, I came across some verses in 1 Chronicles, that book that you read all the time, in chapter 19, which really spoke to me and kind of resonated with me about the situation. And I think they're part of what God wants to say to us this morning as we think about being strong as a church together and standing firm in the face of adversity, united. So this is what they say. They're coming. Joab saw that there were 2 army groups ready to fight against him. One group was in front of him and the other group was behind him. So Joab chose some of the best soldiers of Israel and sent them out to fight against the Aramean army. He put the rest of the Israelite army under his brother Abishai's command. These soldiers went out to fight against the Ammonite army. Joab said to Abishai, "If the Arameans are too strong for me, you must help me. But if the Ammonites are too strong for you, I will help you." And it's kind of that bit at the end that I've underlined that really kind of spoke to me. Now, this is a really serious situation. You know, they've got an army in front of them and an army behind them. It's kind of, they're in danger here. You know, this isn't good. There's kind of no way out. But they've got that, and you know, it's a bit overwhelming for them. But they've got this idea that, you know, if you're overwhelmed by the bit of the enemy that you're fighting, I'll help you. And if the bit that I'm fighting overwhelms me, you come and help me. And I was thinking about it, and it struck me that in order to know that the enemy was overwhelming the other section of the army, they would have to be kind of looking out for each other and noticing what was going on. And that's always easy when you're fighting an army of your own, you know. But also, the part of the army that was being overwhelmed would probably actually need to kind of call out and raise some kind of alarm to say that the enemy was too strong for them and was overwhelming them. It was no good just kind of suffering in silence or being proud and just carrying on and thinking, we'll do it, we'll manage, it's fine, we'll cope. You know, or thinking, well, what will they think of us? If we shout for help, they'll think we're rubbish soldiers because they're over there getting on with their battle and we're over here thinking, oh, this is a bit too much. You know, that feeling that you could be judged by needing help. But you could, there was no time to be proud. This was no time to suffer in silence. There needed to be a level of kind of vulnerability and honesty and openness to ask for the support and help that they were going to need to defeat the enemy. And it also kind of reminded me of the time in Exodus 17 when the Israelite army was fighting and Moses was up on the hill above the battlefield praying. And while he had his hands up in the air praying, they were winning. Mm-hmm. But if he let his arms drop down, then they started to lose. Mm-hmm. And it was a long battle. It went on for a really long time. And it was hard work keeping his arms up for that amount of time. And so two men, Aaron and Hur, came alongside him and lifted up an arm each to help him keep them up. And that's how they won the battle. They needed each other, as well as the power of God, to kind of defeat the enemy. And they couldn't do it on their own. And this is the kind of thing that I was thinking about, you know, this morning, as we're thinking about the church being strong. We're strong because God's equipped us and he's given us the armor, but we're strong because he's put us together in the army. And so I want to ask some questions this morning for us all to think about as we come to a finish. And they are these. How are we supporting each other? Who is lifting you up, like Moses' arms were lifted up, and who are you helping to lift up? What are you struggling and battling with? How are you going to be open and, or being open and honest and vulnerable with others to let them know when you're feeling overwhelmed? Like I say, it's no good kind of thinking, I'll soldier on, I'll carry on, it'll be okay, because that's when the enemy's going to take you out. Who are you praying for and battling for on behalf of in situations when they haven't got the strength to fight for themselves? And is there a particular piece of spiritual PPE that you really need to remember that God has equipped you with at the moment? Are you going into hostile situations with the good news where you need to know that you've got those spiky shoes and you can stand firm? Are you having a battle in your mind where you just need to know the truth of God's salvation and what he says about you in your mind? You know, someone said to me the other day, if you said the things that you say to yourself to somebody else, you'd be horrified, you know. So is your head protected by the truth of what God says about you and that you are saved? So yeah, those are the things. And I really would encourage us all to make sure that we are being open and honest with somebody and seeking each other's support, using our discipleship groups, use the prayer room today, invite a friend round to pray with you and have coffee, whatever you need to do, because God has put us together as the church, a family, a body, and those things are only strong when they're kind of connected and they're joined together, and we're equipped and by God and his power and clothed in his spiritual protection so that we can stand firm together, as Paul says, and have the victory in him.